What's going on, Fear Being Average listeners? Welcome to episode number 38 of the Fear Being Average Health, Fitness, and Performance Series podcast. Today, we take a look at 5 steps to becoming instantly happier and more successful. Yes, that is broad and that is a bold promise, but I guarantee you, these are strategies and tools and practices not only have I used to implement in my life to make me happier and become more successful, but these are the practices and the strategies from the giants of the industries, the best of the best, top level performers, the ones who have figured it out and they're giving you the blueprint. So these are tools and aspects that we can definitely hone into our life that will greatly improve our happiness and create much greater success across the board. Like always, guys, feel free to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. You can rate the podcast as many stars as possible. Share the podcast with someone that would benefit from hearing this. There's always somebody. I love sharing podcasts. It's a big thing I do with clients, friends, and family. If it's useful, even tag them. Tell them, hey, take a look at the timestamp. Check out number 2. This is a great tip right here. But send it on. Pay it forward. Get people listening to the right stuff and less of the garbage stuff. All right, guys, enjoy today's episode. All right, so we're talking about happiness and becoming more successful today. So, yes, I've kind of covered success, obviously, in the past, and it's a topic we're never not going to cover because everything kind of in relationship goes towards that. But in particular, obviously, success looks a lot different for a lot of different people. But when we think about success, we're talking about fulfillment. We're talking about being happier. We're talking about thriving in life. And the things that we're going to cover, regardless of what success looks like for you, how that's determined, these 5 basic big pillars are going to really help guide you towards that path. Like I said, to whatever that looks like for you. But these are 5 major movers in terms of helping you achieve instant happiness and becoming more successful. It doesn't mean you're going to be 100% happy, but what we're talking about is we're taking you up a notch. We are 100% going to be doing something that is going to be bettering our situation. These 5 things that we're talking about is going to enhance your life. It's just plain and simple. There's a lot of moving parts to it. So episodes like this can be a bit broad and they can be, full of variety. But at the same token, if we, self-audit our situation, we look at it from a very individualistic standpoint. We take the time to ask the question, why, and really kind of understand our situation a little better. Now, if we implement these 5 strategies, it's going to really take us to the next stratosphere, which is what we're trying to do. We are trying to increase betterment. We're trying to develop ourselves into a more self-actualized version of ourselves to a certain degree, obviously. Now, some people like myself, very highly motivated within that pursuit. I want to be somebody who lives the life that I see for myself, that I dream about, that I visualize. And obviously try to manifest. And that can look like a lot of different things. But, I want to pursue things that I'm very passionate about. And I think that's a big part of how to become happier and how to become more successful. Because if we're doing things that we love, that we're nurturing, that really connect and align to who we are and our deepest values, we are going to be happier versions of ourselves. Like, how can we not? Right? And that takes being present. It takes a whole bunch of things. But obviously, that's a phenomenal broad formula to achieving greater happiness and becoming more successful in your life. So let's dive into this one. No time to waste. Topic number 1, or at least point number 1, take complete ownership. Love this one. Jocko Willink, who is an ex-Navy SEAL commander, a podcast host, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu, I think black belt or brown belt. Basically, he's a savage, right? The guy is an absolute unit of a human being. And he wrote the book, Discipline is Freedom, something of that nature. I want to 100% double check. I do not want to butcher that book title. Haven't read it. Obviously, I've heard him talk about it on multiple occasions. And it's, again, it's a fairly straightforward message, right? Discipline equals freedom. We're getting it. Extreme ownership. That's the one. And then, yeah, he has Discipline Equals Freedom as well. So he has both books. So Extreme Ownership and Discipline Equals Freedom. That's it. I didn't butcher it for you, Jocko. And yeah, what he basically really highlights, and from what I've heard him talk about on multiple occasions on different podcasts, and obviously, you know, hearing this topic discussed, is that we want to look at our lives as something that we have complete control over. Yes, there are a lot of things that we don't have control over. There's a lot of moving parts that we can't control how someone speaks to us. We can't control necessarily how our boss treats us or what happens within a day of someone ramming into us in traffic. We can't control traffic. We can't control the weather. There's a lot of things we can't control. But at the end of the day, we have control and ownership of how we respond to these situations. And that's never going to be taken away from us, right? That is our personal freedom, right? No one can tell us how to feel. No one can tell us how to think. At the end of the day, we have the opportunity and the leverage to think and feel the way we want to think and feel. Now, are there challenges involved in that? Absolutely, right? If someone keeps pushing our buttons and poking at us and poking at us and poking at us, I'm probably more likely to lose my cool than if someone were giving me compliments, right? I'd probably feel a lot better about myself. So there's those moving parts, but the same token, I still have the last say, right? How I respond, how I get affected by a certain message or a certain narrative or a circumstance or situation is still my doing, right? And that's how we need to look at things. When I worked my direct marketing sales job, and it was a manager in training program, one of the biggest things that we had to highlight is a commission-based job. So if you went out into the field that day, meaning like we were actually doing business-to-business sales, and you didn't sell something, you didn't make any money, right? It's purely commission. It's you make money on what you sell. Pretty ruthless structure. However, it's going to really promote the cream of the crop, right? If you're not good at what you do, if you're not able to handle your emotions in a graceful manner, you're not going to do very well. You're not going to make a lot of money, and you're not going to stay at the job. So it basically, you know, eliminates people that aren't great leaders of their mind and that have a weak mind or a fragile mind, because you can't afford to be someone who is easily distracted. You can't be someone who's easily rattled and overthinks what's going on. Like, you need to be able to move forward accordingly, show up every single day with the right mindset, and not let circumstances affect you. Because we had a lot of days, especially when we were doing, we worked at gas stations, we worked business to business. There were days that sometimes you had a lot of customers come to you, and not, you know, traditional customers, but people that you could talk to. Like at a gas station, for example, I might have a day where 100 people pump gas and I get a lot of opportunity to sell the gas wax that we were selling, and I had a lot of opportunity to talk to people, so I had more opportunity for successes and get yeses compared to a day that I had 20 cars come my way, and I had to be much more on point with maximizing those 20 cars or being able to rehash them, meaning I was able to upsell them. So sell them on the can of wax and they came over to the table, and then I had this detailing kit, right? And you had to be more creative and you had to close at a more efficient rate. So there's certain things that I didn't have ownership over, right? But at the end of the day, I still had technical ownership over it, right? I had to be better that day. I still had the ownership, or I still had the control to up my skill level so I maximize on the customers that I do see, especially when business was a thing for us in the summertime or the wintertime, sorry. It was that the situation where we had to go out and find customers. We had to go talk to people, and we weren't necessarily told not to go somewhere, right? We had our little space and our little, you know, region and map, but we still had a lot of freedom. And some days you have people that are just buying, they're in good moods, and other days you're in areas that people want to negotiate price. I remember Brampton being a big one, right? Obviously a lot of a lot of brown people, right? And what they would traditionally do from their culture, they negotiate. Right? It's not a race thing necessarily in terms of racial. It's more just like the fact of how they grew up. They were very prone to negotiating, right? It wasn't just as simple as here's the price, buy it or don't. They wanted to negotiate. So it was a lot of mental struggle and mental fortitude when people would try to, you know, bring you down to a price that you simply couldn't sell it for, and you're almost wasting your time, and you're getting frustrated, and it was just sometimes wild. Or you would work in a community or work in a city that was low income, right? So then you had to really build value on what you're selling. Or you would work in a very affluent space, and you would have to sell in a different manner, right? Because they didn't want the cheapest thing. You had to make it sound like this was an elite item, for example. So basically what I'm saying is when I was in that situation, every day was different. Some days were sunny, some days were rainy, some days were snowy, some days you were in good environment, some days you were in tough environment, some days you saw some people, some days you saw a lot of people, sometimes it was a rush, sometimes it was slow, it was a Friday, a Monday. Lots of circumstances going on that you could not control, but every day I had to go in and figure it out, right? I had to take control of what I had to take control of, which was my mind. And we've had this thing we call nagging out, which is getting negative, right? Maybe, you know, from the beginning of the day from 9 to 11, I take 20 or 30 no's and I haven't got one sale. And usually at this point, I've got at least 4 or 5. I nag out, right? I get super negative. I get pissed. You know, I kind of get outside of what I can control. And then we would usually call a leader. We would call someone, one of our owners, and just kind of like have them evaluate what we're doing. Maybe it's something in the pitch. Maybe it's our energy. Maybe it's, you know, how we're approaching the demographic. And then we would almost inevitably turn it around, right? Because we'd reset. We would take control of our emotions again, and we would take control of the situation, and we wouldn't add stress onto what we were trying to do. Because, you know, for sales, for example, you can really tell when someone wants to sell you some shit. You know, you can tell when someone's desperate and they're just like, please buy, 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 because they're not going through the steps. They're not building rapport. They're not, you know, indifferent. They're very salesy and they're aggressive, and they're making the person almost get pressured into buying, which is, you know, never going to work in the long run. You might get one or two people that you pressure sale into it, but you're not going to have a very successful day because you can smell it on the salesperson. Think of a really greasy used car salesman, right? So it's one of those things that we walked in one day to the office. I know I've told the story on a previous podcast a while back, and it was a snowy day. So we knew it was going to be a tough one. It's going to be cold outside. We were only going to see so many people. People weren't going to want to stand outside a lot. And our owner, Christy, came in and said, guys, today your success is your success and your failure is your failure. Like, you are in complete ownership of what happens today, basically. So if you go out and you rock it, you did that. You took control of your circumstances. You figured out a way to be successful. But if you come back and you fail and you told me you didn't get any sales, we had a really shitty day, that's on you too. You know, there are different approaches to it. And it was no wonder. Here's the really cool part. And I'll kind of sum it up after this. Anytime we'd have offices merge and we'd have top leaders work together. So say we had an office from Hamilton work with the office from Burlington. And then, you know, the Hamilton office has a couple top performers. The Burlington office has a couple top performers. And what they would traditionally do is kind of put people together, like A players with A players, B players with B players, because they knew having two A players together, two, you know, rock stars, they were going to feed off each other. Like, they're A players for a reason. They control their attitude. They're good at what they do. They have a good formula. They're successful very often. You know, they're good leaders. They understand the systems very well. So when they would go out together, whether you were successful off the bat or not, it would always lead to a very successful day. The A team would just crush the day out, right? They would go out. They would feed off the energy. No one would really nag out because they've learned how to not nag out and control their emotions and control the situation and adapt. And it was almost without fail that the A team would always come back and they would smash the day. Like, they're kind of competing with each other, feeding off each other, and they would just have these incredible days, right? Typically on Fridays too. People like to spend money on Fridays when payday comes. And then you inevitably have the B teams and the C teams, and, you know, the C teams and D teams, you know, they struggle, right? Because you have two people that really don't know how to, you know, navigate the situation very well. They get negative on themselves. They don't have, you know, emotional control. They don't see things as they have ownership over what happens. They blame the situation. They make up excuses. They rationalize on why something didn't work in their favor. And when you do that, you put that energy out there, and they would constantly come back with the same excuse and the same reasons why they weren't successful. Yet, you know, another pairing crushed the day, you know, and it wasn't a coincidence. It was just how two people really navigated a space, and you'd always see the people that took complete ownership of their situation and knew how to navigate their circumstance, and they didn't sit in this negative space for very long, and they didn't blame the system, they didn't blame the environment, they didn't blame people, that they would inevitably be extremely successful because they took complete ownership of their life. And with that, yes, they were more successful, they made more money, they built faster teams. A lot of those A players obviously went on to run offices like myself in British Columbia 10 months after, you know, getting into this job. And when you're more successful, you know, you're happier. You go home happier. You don't go home being like, holy shit, I worked an, you know, 8-hour day and I made $40. And like, no, you worked an 8-hour day and you made, you know, $300 or $500, whatever it was. So again, instant way to take back ownership. Because again, if you think that you can dictate everybody around you, how they talk to you, how they respond, if they smile at you, they're pissy, if they're happy, go lucky, if they're miserable, if they're negative, you know, those people, you can't control it. You don't want them to let the energy into you. So you need to do a much better job of dismissing that, owning what you can control, seeing it from that angle. That way you're always in a space of self-reflection. And self-reflection on how you could go about this situation better. How could have I done a better job here? Again, it's not always your fault, but if you think of it from that standpoint, life changes dramatically, right? Early on, I would blame the shit out of people that didn't make sales when I had them on my team, and I'd blame them, right? Like, oh man, like this guy sucks. He can't do this. You know, he's not good at this job. And that, sometimes that was the case, but it was still my duty to be a better leader to them. And when I finally turned that around and took ownership of how could have I done a better job as a leader to set them up for success? Did I not go over the 5 steps long enough? Did I not go over how to build rapport? Did I not call them and check in on their day before they had the chance to neg out, right? Did I not set them up for success in the morning and highlight what they should be doing? You know, and I always went back to that. But when I started doing that, you know, coincidentally, I was much more successful. My team grew. I had a much more successful team. So a lot more people were making good money, hence that they were staying on my team. And before you knew it, you know, I had a big enough team to make so much money and then obviously get my own office. So it was that complete turnaround when I stopped blaming other people for their failures or my failures. I became much more successful because the people around me were very successful as well. And I always looked back at myself and how I could have done a better job as a leader, okay? So we are going to shift forward now to number 2. Follow a workout regime. So you want to be happy, you want to be more successful in life. Exercise is a proven habit that is going to benefit your life. We know this. We know the mind-body connection now. The research is out there. We understand how exercise releases a lot of feel-good hormones and neurotransmitters and has these chemical reactions that, you know, give out these feelings of happiness and their mood-boosting effects. Like I said, a release of dopamine and serotonin, and you're more relaxed and more creative and more productive and more engaged. A lot of high-level execs, even before they have a presentation. I talked to a client the other day who was giving a big presentation, and he said, you know what? I like to just move my body. I like to come into the gym before a presentation, do a couple rows, do a few push-ups, do a couple things just to kind of stimulate those mood-boosting effects. And it's no surprise that a lot of, you know, happy and successful high performers, they follow a workout regime. They do things that stimulate the body, stimulate growth. You know, when you do that and you follow a good, and the reason I put follow a workout regime compared to just exercise is a little bit more specific here, was that a workout regime has a plan. It has a structure. It has a rhyme and reason to what you're doing. So if you follow a good workout regime, you're going to get stronger. You're going to see your body develop and adapt. You're going to build lean muscle tissue. So you're going to improve the tightness and the sharpness of your muscles. You're going to improve posture because you're highlighting movements that are pulling and retracting the scapula back and depressing the shoulder blades. And you're going to alleviate the upper cross syndrome, or you're going to highlight your glute development and your posterior chain development. So you'll alleviate back pain. You won't be in this chronic place of tension and tightness and pain. So when you follow a workout regime, you're actually following something that has a plan and end result to it. That doesn't mean you get there and you stop. It just means that we're actually taking it on as, let's do A, B, and C so we accomplish D. And then when that's accomplished, then we can shift directions a little bit. And for a lot of people, when they just exercise, even though you still get that release of endorphins and feel-good hormones, it doesn't quite nurture the effect that your body is going to see the growth. And the growth is such a big part of staying consistent. So to be happier and more successful, we want to see a return on our investment. We don't want to just work out and exercise. And that's probably the biggest reason most diets and exercise routines fail, is that the result doesn't coincide with the effort put in or the energy put in. So what we want to do is, you know, put energy out, right? But we want to see return on investment. We want to see ourselves actually develop and look like we're people that take care of our body, look like we work out, look like we show up daily and put some time in. And we want to feel like we exercise. We don't want to feel like we're in pain and be tight and, you know, be uncomfortable and wake up with these limiting, you know, bodily behaviors. Like, we want to feel like we're thriving. We want to feel free and open and strong and capable, right? And durable and resilient. So following a work regime is just such a big part of that, right? And it goes without saying, but it's also, you know, worthy of saying as well, that when we follow a workout plan and we develop our body and we see growth, it is the most primal example of human betterment and achievement, right? It's a constant pursuit of betterment. Every time we go to the gym, we're pushing our body, we're challenging our body, we're asking our body to do something that is somewhat, at least acutely, uncomfortable. And we overcome that challenge, right? We went out and we earned our comfort. We did something that we didn't necessarily want to do throughout the whole thing. Maybe we were excited to go to the gym, but then once the sets got challenging and the weight got heavier, we pushed our body to a place that we maybe didn't know it could have gone. And we get empowered by this. And we have this, you know, feeling of mental and physical resiliency. And we have this overpowering feeling of mind and body strength. And it almost creates, going back to step number one, or point number one, is this feeling of ownership of who we are and that we took ownership of our day. We're getting our body to a place where it can perform at a high level, that it won't be sick, it won't be ill, it won't be beaten up, it won't be drained, it won't be tired, it won't be exhausted, but it's going to thrive and it's going to feel incredibly excited and energized, and we're going to have the tools to be our most successful, high-performing self. And when those things happen, obviously, success is a byproduct, but we're happier because we see that so many people choose to go down a different path. And that path typically leads to depression, anxiety, mood disorders, feelings of angst, feelings of sadness, you know, lethargy, nihilism. Like, we're really seeing the two sides, and we see the separation, and we see the directions that people are going. The one direction is into the sunlight, where the other direction is into the darkness. And, you know, for you, you can't help but feel empowered by that, knowing that you're doing a lot of good for your body and mind, and you're now a better parent, a better employee, a better boss, a better leader, a better version of yourself than if you were not to take care of your body and you were that tired, exhausted, pissy, you know, bored, angry, full of angst human being. So again, such an important part. And again, it goes without saying that working out, so good for the mind and body. and is one of the easiest, lowest hanging fruit that we need to dive into. And I just listened to a podcast on the Joe Rogan podcast, and I listened to a Dr. Peter Attia, and he was talking about, you know, he's a longevity specialist now, and he has a practice, and he's saying the best thing, the easiest thing we can do to improve health span and longevity, exercise. The easiest, the most, you know, the biggest benefit to longevity, to increasing how long you're going to live for, is exercise and working out. So again, doing those things, putting our body in a position to live longer and increase health span, incredibly important. Okay, number three, create real structure in your life. Now, this is really important because the mindless mind and the mind that just wanders periodically without any plan, without any, you know, structure or routine or direction, is a mind that's going to be lost, right? It's really difficult to hone in your life and hone in on what you want and what you want to accomplish and achieve those things when we're doing it on the basis of complete spontaneity. Like, you're not just going to accidentally run into a promotion. You're not going to accidentally run into improving how your body looks and feels. You're not going to accidentally run into financial freedom. Like, those things don't just happen, right? You might get lucky here and there, but from a long-term longevity standpoint, your body and mind needs structure. And that not only is the structure going to achieve more success, it is going to make your life easier in the present, in the now, right? So if we think about structure, what are a few things we can think of? You know, meal prepping, getting your meals ready for the week so we know what we're eating. We're not going to be in this, you know, busy, exhausted state of running around, picking out foods that aren't going to give us energy, that we feel shitty about eating, and then we're justifying that we have to eat. You know, no, we're giving our body nutrient-dense foods, a ton of healthy macronutrients and micronutrients, and we know that we're giving ourselves the structure to be successful and be in a more logical place in terms of, you know, improving our health. We can create structure within our circadian rhythm. Are we sleeping the same time every night, roughly? Are we waking up around the same time every night? Or are we being, you know, assholes on the weekend up to 3 a.m., you know, butchering our Sunday, so we don't want to do shit all. We don't want to move our body. We don't need to prep. We don't want to create any resemblance of structure. And before we know it, we're already behind the eight ball come Monday morning, right? So we can do things that gets our circadian rhythm on point, right? That we're actually creating this harmonious nature within our body, that our body knows when it's hungry, it knows when it's tired, it knows when it should wake up, it knows when it's full. Like, those are really important signals to be sent to the body naturally. And if we can get our body working like that, we're going to do a really good job, make our life way easier, because now we're not fighting all those elements. We're not having to use all this willpower to fight off cravings. We don't have to use our willpower to get ourselves to bed or wake ourselves up in the morning. It just becomes this natural entity that we live with, right? So creating structure can really make your life so much easier to make better decisions, right? Do we have a to-do list? Do we have structure on what we want to do? What does our week look like? Are there certain check marks? What would look like a successful week? Right? What does that structure look like? What are we doing? What are we, you know, highlighting? How are we implementing a routine that basically guarantees at the end of the week or end of the day, we look at it and we go, wow, I had a really productive week. Are we creating a plan? Do we have a path? Do we have something where we're actually following and that there's some resemblance of structure to? Right, like a workout plan, a work plan, a food plan. You know, what exactly are we following? Or are we just showing up and hoping good things happen? You know, it really behooves you to actually know, if I want to achieve this at the end of the week, I have this plan to follow. Like, writing a book is a great example. right? Say by the end of the week, for example, I want to get in 3,500 words. You do the math behind that. You say, okay, well, I want roughly about, you know, 10 to 12,000 words written by the end of the month. That way I can have about 60,000 words written in 6 months. So you do the math and it equates to about 500 words a day to give you your 3,500 a week, which will give you obviously around 14,000. So maybe even less. Let's say 3,000 words a day, right? Or sorry, 400 words a day, right? So now we're around 2,800 at the end of the week. So having the structure, having that plan, having a path, we go, well, okay, I don't need to worry about the 60,000 words I need to write. I don't need to even worry about the end of the month having, you know, 10 to 14,000 words written. Right? I don't even have to worry at the end of the week to have our 3,000 words written. All I have to worry about is today's 500. Might not be the most, you know, the best version of what you're writing. It might not be written in the way that you want it to be written or to be finalized or how you think it should sound, but at least you're putting words on paper and we can always edit, and it's much easier to edit than start. That's for sure. So again, that would be a plan. That would be knowing at the end of the week, if I just show up today and I show up like a professional, like Stephen Pressfield talks about, that I'm going to get what I need to get done. And there's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. There's no guesswork involved. It's simply follow a plan, achieve result at the end of the week, end of the month, that kind of thing, right? Having structure also eliminates chaos, right? It eliminates the opportunity to fall behind and then ending up in this crazy rut. And it happens so often, right? If we eliminate chaos and we eliminate the unknown of how things are going to get done, and we kind of already, you know, we can foresee how it's going to get done. We know what time things are going to get done for the most part. And we know, okay, you know, on Monday, my workout's going to take place at, you know, 11 a.m. right before lunch or right at lunch. At this time, I'm going to pick up the kids. At this time, I'm going to cook dinner, you know, yada, yada, whatever it looks like, right? Now we see it all come together. When we have no idea when those things are going to get done, we don't even give our chance or ourselves an opportunity to think about these things, then chaos gets created. You know, when am I going to pick up the kids? When am I going to cook dinner? When am I going to meal prep? When am I going to work out? When am I going to have time to do this or that? You know, I have this assignment due. I have this project due. I have this, you know, presentation to give. Like, you need to give yourself time to lay it out so you can see it all. And then you allocate time for those appropriate moments. And then you can really kind of create that structure, create that routine. And before you know it, you know, your day is set and you're having a successful day. And we don't want to fall behind, because that's when we stop doing the things we're supposed to do. And we go into the path of least resistance, right? One thing I found works incredibly well, which I, you know, read about somewhere, was creating priority tasks and doing them first. So what are your 2 to 3 priority tasks? Now, how I define a priority task are the things that move the needle the most. So what are the 2 to 3 things that if nothing else got done today, but those 2 or 3 things did get done, you would say, hey, this is a relatively successful day. It's a pretty damn good day knowing that I got these 2 to 3 things done. Those should be your priority tasks. Those should be the things that we take care of first, right? Is it your workout? Is it a presentation? Is it your 500 to 1,000 words written? Is it reading your 10 pages? Is it studying for a test or a course or a certification? Like, what does that look like? Is it working on a business plan? Get those things done, right? Because it's easy to wake up and do the things that, you know, you feel okay about and you're not maybe being a complete lazy piece of shit, but you're not really getting the main things done, you know? And I've had days like that where at the end of the day, I go, man, I got stuff done, but I didn't get the main things done. Or I'm rushing at the end of the night to get those main things done because the day doesn't really feel complete until I get those things done, because those are the things that are weighing on my head the most. And they're the things that are going to move the needle the most in terms of business and financial and me creating, you know, prosperity for myself. So take those tasks, get them done, and then when you have time, chances are you're going to feel really good about that. You're going to feel great about that structure that you created. And then from there, now you can get into those small other things, the things that they weren't necessarily main priorities, but they're things that you wanted to get done. So say, like, you know, reading your 5 to 10 pages wasn't a main priority in terms of your 1 or 2 or 3 priority tasks, but it's something that you definitely wanted to stay consistent with. So say you get your 2 to 3 priority tasks, main priority tasks taken care of before noon. And then, you know, you feel really good. You're like, this is a good damn day. You know, if the day ended right now, I would be happy with the day. But because you have that momentum built, you feel really good about it. You know what? You're probably way more likely to dive into a 5-page or 10-page or 1 chapter or 2 chapters of a book that you want to read. And you build momentum off of that. And there's less pressure. There's less stress behind that. You know, it becomes one of those things that you want to do compared to that you have to do. So that is a massive, massive tool that we can use in our life by creating priority tasks, the things that move the needle the most, making sure you know what they are, making sure you have allocated the appropriate time for it, and making sure that you're getting them done before you take care of the busy work. Number 4, remove distractions, okay? Big one. We live in a world of distractions. More now than ever, we have so much accessibility and convenience to distractions right in front of us, right? We have a smartphone, we have an iPhone, a Samsung, they're all smartphones now, that is loaded with tons of apps, tons of opportunity to connect with people, to watch videos, to learn things, to read about the news, to be distracted, watch videos. A cool tool, obviously, right? World's changed dramatically. However, we have to understand that when we have all these distractions around us, we're far less likely to stay consistent behind the goals that are going to move the needle the furthest. So we have to be better at removing things that distract us, right? Because sometimes we don't want to look, and I get it. So a lot of us don't want to look at reality. We don't want to address the financial chaos we've created. We don't want to address the debt we're in. We don't want to address that we're not taking care of our body. We don't want to address that our mind is full of shit. We don't want to address the excuses we come up with, right? We would much prefer to fill our days with distractions so we don't actually have to look at the life we've created. And unfortunately, that's a narrative for a lot of people. They put their head in a book. And again, I'm giving you an example of people that even like they don't want to address their social anxiety, so they throw their head into a book. Or we don't want to address that we don't actually feel good, so we're going to throw ourselves in a space where we get likes or we get comments or we get attention, right? Dangerous, very dangerous, right? Because we're not addressing the root cause. We are distracting ourselves from what's actually bothering us. Your happiness isn't dictated from the likes or the attention, or the money you make off those things. It's a part of you, but you're still not addressing the things that really matter to you. You're not addressing the things that are actually aligned to who you want to become, to where you would be happiest. You're doing things that are simply getting you by, getting you to a place of, okay, I can endure this. But it's not addressing the real things that matter to you. It's not addressing the angst that you're living with. It's not addressing the depression and the anxiety and the pain you're living with, right? So we got to remove distractions, remove the social, create limits for yourself, remove the phone, put it in a different room while you're working on your priority task. Remove distractions like busy work. You know, get the busy work done after your priority task. You got to clean the house today. Maybe it's not a priority task, but something you'd like to do. Hell, I got to clean my space after this podcast, for example. Now, it's not a priority task. I have other things. Like, this podcast was a priority task over me cleaning my space today. It wasn't a necessity. I want to clean it because, hell, I'm looking at crumbs on the floor and I go, I should clean this place. But again, if I were to do that before the podcast, I'd be happy with it. But I'd also be like, damn, I didn't do the thing that was moving the needle forward. I could leave this apartment dirty as shit for the next year and it's not going to affect my needle moving forward, really. Yeah, maybe a little bit because I'm living in filth and I'm a filthier guy because of it. But at the end of the day, if I'm still getting a podcast done and I'm writing a blog and I'm doing a post and I'm working out, I'm taking care of my body and I'm writing something, well, those things are actually moving me forward, right? So we can't necessarily put that busy work in front of it. Make sure we don't use it as a reason not to do the things that we should be doing, and then doing it when we have the time for it, and making the time, not when we have the time, making the time once those priority tasks are taken care of, and putting those low priority tasks on the back burner. Those things will get done, right? And different days are going to look different. Sundays, maybe the priority task that day is meal prep, because you know that is going to dictate your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Super important that we can go into the week knowing what we have to eat, how our body's going to function, how our mind's going to function, how we're going to feel when the day gets busy, and all my meals are prepped for me. They're in containers. The macros are laid out. You know, I know I'm fueling my body with phenomenal performance-enhancing foods and feel-good foods. Right? So take the distractions, take the things that are blurring your line of vision, that are getting in the way of you creating a better, more developed, self-actualized self, and put it aside. Whatever that looks like, if it's setting blocks throughout the day, if it, you know, China started doing this, right? China, good old China, between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m., and who knows if they'll expand. But they've put blocks on social media. I think it's for kids. So at that point, they've literally eliminated, they've removed the possibility of being distracted on social. They've created, I think, a 40-minute time limit per day on video games. So again, they're doing things that eliminate distractions, that are eliminating your pursuit of the things that you really want to do, because they're seeing this epidemic of teenage angst and anxiety and suicide and depression. And they're seeing this epidemic of weight gain and obesity. And they're seeing this entitlement, right? This entitlement that we should all be successful. That's not reality. You don't deserve to be successful. If you don't work hard, you should deserve to be poor. You deserve to live a tough life because you didn't put the time in that other people did. This isn't a handout. This isn't the world we're living in. I think a lot of people are trying to make it into a world that we should live in, but how does that make sense? Work for it. Do something with your life. Pursue betterment. Develop a skill set. Learn something new. Get off your ass. Do something, right? But we want to distract ourselves and bitch about why we don't have something, and bitch about why the person that we're watching do work is making more money than us and is thriving, right? Like it's comical, really. So we want to make sure we take those distractions away, we focus on our priorities, and we do the things that are moving the yardstick forward. We're going towards the sunlight, and we're going away from the darkness. We're going away from things that are pulling us back. We're being a professional. We're showing up as if we're getting paid to show up. In a lot of cases, we are getting paid to show up, yet we still don't do the work. So again, especially if you're an entrepreneur, someone who has to be self-disciplined, has to take really complete ownership of who they are, or they're not going to eat this week. That person has better got their shit together. They better remove those distractions so you can focus on the things that are going to make your life better. All right, number five, final one here, pursue activities that align with the ultimate goal in life. So first off, what's your ultimate goal, right? You know, for me, it's to live a life of passion and excitement, to change lives, to make the world a healthier, stronger place. Big goal, sure, but it doesn't have to be, I need to change a million people's lives. Maybe I'm going to change 100 people's lives this year. Maybe 1,000, maybe 50, I don't know. But I'm going to pursue that because I like that. I want to pursue a world of fitness. I want to live in gyms, right? I want to live in this space. I don't want to learn about anything else, really, you know. Not completely, but I really only want to learn about health, fitness, longevity, well-being, happiness, betterment, greatness. Those are the things that I'm concerned with, because all those things, that takes care of the rest. And now a lot of those things, they cross over into being a better partner and being a more well-versed leader and being someone who is a better communicator and someone who is more financially inept. Not inept, but financially... what's the word I'm looking for? Financially intelligent? We'll go with that. They understand things about the world that they're living in, right? They're not opposed to hearing different viewpoints, right? And I take that in. I learn. I read books. I learn from other people. I listen to podcasts. I do things that are, again, moving me in the right direction that I want to go. And that's kind of my ultimate goal. So I want to be, you know, in better shape. I want to have more confidence. I want to thrive in all areas of my life. I want to create, you know, financial freedom. I want to have that work-life balance. I want to pursue things that I've dreamed about, that I've visualized, that I know will make the greatest impact on my community, on people around me. I want to be a leader in the space of health and fitness and performance. I want to be someone who really takes their craft seriously and motivates and inspires other people, right? So you want to pursue activities that are in alignment with that goal. Whatever those goals are, not just one goal, it can be, you know, your top 5 or 10 values, but you want to pursue activities and pursue habits that align with that, right? So figure out what those 5 to 10 major values are in your life, and then create a list of habits and activities and pursuits that would actually get you closer to those 5 to 10 top values, right? Do you want to be a better parent? Do you want to be healthier? Do you want to be in less pain? Do you want to have less stress, less anxiety? Do you want to have better gut health? Do you want to be more present in the moment? Do you want to work a job you're passionate about? Okay, well then we need to do things that are in alignment with that. So let's take a couple of those and kind of give examples. You want to work a job that you're passionate about. Great. So maybe you're not doing that right now. How can we get there? What are some activities you can do that align with that value and goal of yours? Well, we're going to have to develop a skill set. We're going to have to work on that thing when we get home at night. We're going to have to earn a little bit of authority, get some credibility, right? Get a certification, get a degree, read some books. We're going to connect with people in that field. You want to be healthier. Well, you got to eat a certain way. You got to take care of your body, your aerobic, anaerobic health. You got to get stronger. You got to eliminate pain, increase mobility, increase range of motion. Take care of your mental health. Read things. Listen to things that are inspiring. Follow people. Get rid of distractions. Create more structure in your life, right? Follow a workout regime. Take complete ownership. All those things go right into healthier. Want to have less pain? You got to address the weaknesses. You got to stop doing the bullshit workouts that are only exasperating your pain. You got to do the things and the exercise and the type of training. You might have to invest in a coach. You might have to invest in a program that helps alleviate the direct individualized pain you're going through. You want to be more present. You want to be more connected to the now. Maybe you don't walk with your phone. Maybe you don't take the phone out to dinner. Maybe you put the phone away. You put on airplane mode. Maybe you work on breath work. You do some meditative work. You protect your last 2 hours. You have a sit-down conversation with your spouse at dinner. You go for midday walks. And you focus on gratitude. You want to be more confident. Okay, so you pursue things that allow you to become more confident. Maybe you're not confident because you're weak. Maybe you're not confident because you're susceptible. You're not very capable. You're not very strong. Address those weaknesses. Maybe you're not that confident on how you look or how you feel or the knowledge that you do not have currently. Well, enhance your knowledge. Enhance your body. Enhance your mind. Learn things. Talk to people. Join groups. Take workshops. Go to conferences. Right? Do things that actually develop your confidence. Learn how to be a better communicator, a better listener. Increase your vocabulary. Read more books, right? Like, it's not that complicated. We just need to find our values. We need to find the things that are in alignment with our ultimate goal. And we got to break down the how behind those. So what are those 5-10 ultimate goals? What are those things that would really make your life thrive, that you would be prospering? And then shape a schedule, shape a structure around that, shape activities and habits and choices that make the most sense towards that. Not very difficult, guys, but that's how you do it right there. So this is a fun episode, but those are right there, the 5 steps to becoming instantly happier and more successful. Sounds very simple, right? To the naked eye. But this takes energy. It takes commitment. It takes discipline. It takes work. It takes consistency. Those things do not happen overnight. But I guarantee you follow these 5 things, life gets really good because you become more successful, right? In all aspects of your life, if you do these things. naturally. And you're happier because you're more present, you're more connected, you're going back from that evolutionary standpoint. You're less taken away from who you are, worrying about other people and how other people view you or how other people are living their life, and you're more, lack of a better word, selfish, inward, which is not a bad thing, right? Taking care of yourself, your mental and physical health at all costs is not a selfish pursuit. It's a very astute pursuit, right? It shows that you care. It shows that you want to be better and stronger for those around you. You want to create strategies to enhance your ability on this planet, which is, again, a very admirable pursuit. So again, really cool things that we talked about today that we went over. Implement a few of them. Implement all of them. Do what you got to do to create one or two or three or four or five of these habits to be nurtured. And I guarantee, and again, I don't say these things lightly. When I talk about complete ownership, I'm literally talking about own your life. Don't be 40% of the time making excuses and 60% of the time owning it. No, like own it all the time. Every situation. I don't have enough time to read. No, you do have enough time to read. You got to find, make more time to read. Like, it's always on you. Always on you. And again, if you live like that, it's cool. You're empathetic with yourself, but you're also really self-aware. Or you don't beat yourself up over it, but you don't bullshit yourself either. Distractions, easy. We know what they are. Get rid of them. Do a better job. Set yourself up for success. Put content and material around you that is going to enhance your ability to concentrate and focus and deliver quality work, right? Structure in your life, same thing. Figure out what that structure would look like to enhance your ability. Work a regime. Follow something that makes sense for yourself. Follow something that is going to get you stronger, make you more confident, get you in better shape, and get you in a healthier version of yourself. And then pursue the activities that align with the ultimate goal in life. Know what those goals are, and then create habits and choices and decisions built around that. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to the Fear Being Average podcast, health, fitness, and performance series. We will see you on the next episode. Enjoy the rest of your day.